Donald Trump's amnesia advantage gets at what you were just talking about. Susan writes, in part, the American presidency is the ultimate easy target, whether high gas prices due to the Russian invasion of Ukraine or post-pandemic inflation at the grocery store. Biden absorbed the outrage while the mitigating steps taken by his administration have not redounded to his credit. Susan continues, the incumbency bind is a real problem for Biden in 2024. So too is the political amnesia powering the increasingly absurd arguments from Trump and his enablers about how he better handle everything from Israel and Ukraine to the border. Forgetting Trump's own memory lapses and those of the broader electorate is one of the former president's political superpowers. You could add to that list, and I know you write about this too, Susan, January 6th, the rewriting of history around that, what he did around the 2020 election. Donald Trump, still sort of like he did in 2016, wants to be the white knight riding in to save a country in decline, forgetting the fact that he was right there in the middle of it for 4 years, adding to it.
Yeah, I'm pretty blown away. When you look at some of these numbers, it is just extraordinary. It's as if the country, a large part of the country, has lost its collective mind, really. I mean, you know, you see Donald Trump going up in polls on every sort of criteria. For example, leadership qualities. You know, is he capable of managing the country well in a crisis? It's literally like, did all of America just sleep through 2020? Did they forget this? And what I'm struck by is that it's across the board. We're talking about Israel right now. And increasingly, I hear, as I'm sure you do, from many people, especially many young people who are not even fans of Donald Trump, well, what really is the difference between the two parties? I mean, what is the difference between Joe Biden and Donald Trump? And I think, how is it even possible that this is the conversation we're having in 2024? It's a remarkable thing, but I think you have to look at memory itself as on the ballot in our elections this fall.
You know, look, I'm really glad we're talking about this because I don't think we talk about Trumpism and race enough. All of this nonsense that it's about some sort of economic stress. Look, Trump's coalition's 85% white in a country that is becoming a minority-majority country. And that is the underlying aspect of this. You know, race has always been, I think, the original sin of the modern Republican Party. We failed at that when I worked in the party. You go back to Eisenhower, he got 39% of the black vote. It fell to 7% with Goldwater. Trump got 8%. That's 1 point every 56 years. But at least when I worked in the party, we admitted it was a failure. I mean, Ken Mellman, who was chairman of the party, went before the NAACP and apologized for the Southern strategy. And there were efforts to try to change this. But really, you know, the party failed. The party failed at a policy level to ever put forth a program that appealed to more non-white Americans, particularly African Americans. And now it's become just a full embrace of racism that the Republican Party is. And if you're for the Republican Party, this is what you are for. This isn't a cafeteria. You can't take from this and this and this. You got the whole buffet. And this is what it is. And you have to come to grips with that.
Listen, my take on where things are right now is kind of simple, is that Joe Biden is a good president. The country is better off. The Democratic Party is strong and winning elections all across the country. And they have Trump, who's the ugliest political thing we've ever seen. And I think that, you know, we have the ability as analysts to not just be guided by single polls. There's a lot of other things we look at to determine the strength of a candidacy or the strength of a political party. Money being raised, quality of the candidate, the strength of the arguments, the team, their track record, all those things, Nicole, you know, you've been part of this. And when I look at everything and put it all together, what I see in 2024 is that I would much rather be us than them 7 months out, because Joe Biden, as I said, is going to have a strong record to run on. And I just don't know how you make dress up Trump and make him look like a serious presidential candidate in 2024.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. President's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
It's Friday, 5 April, year of our Lord, 2024. The meltdown you're hearing over at MSNBC's through the mainstream media, the Biden campaign, all of it is the fact that President Trump's polling numbers in the battleground states continue to improve. You look at the crosstabs of all the quote-unquote coalition that Joe Biden has. They continue to rapidly deteriorate. And, of course, you had Susan Glasner up there, the formerly of Politico, now one of the senior editors over at The New Yorker, throwing her toys out of the pram this morning as they're in full meltdown about why Donald Trump continues to have such incredible strength. We're going to break down the shows into a couple of component pieces today. I want to make sure everybody can get this on their schedule at 6 o'clock tonight, because I need the time to do it, because the 6 o'clock show gives us a little better clock, as you guys know, to work with. EJ and Tony, Dave Brett, and Dave Walsh will all join me as we break down the jobs numbers today, the economy, oil, what, going to $90 a barrel, the grid, all of it, and particularly why in the battleground states they say the data is so good for Biden, but the votes are going the exact opposite direction. So we'll do that. Also going to have Jim Rickards here later to talk about Ukraine and geopolitics, and Ambassador Rick Grenell is going to join us. But I got to start with some pressing news and issues, because the only thing they're going to stop Trump with, and they know this now, is lawfare. Lawfare revolves around lawyers. And we're seeing a situation now that there's a war, absolute war, against anybody that will defend MAGA, anybody that will step up and defend the Trump movement, President Trump, all of it. And it shows you because, you know, the progressives control the legal profession and they control the courts. You've seen this with this fiasco in New York, the fiasco in Georgia, all of it. Jeff Clark and John Eastman are in the process of being disbarred. I've got Josh Hammer here from Newsweek. And Jeff Clark's lawyer, Harry McDougal, joins us. Harry, first off, walk me through this kind of kangaroo court. What is exactly going on with Jeff Clark? Because Jeff is one of the most brilliant legal minds we have on our side of the football. And they clearly have targeted him to take him out so he cannot work with MAGA, that he can't work in the he can't be attorney general, he can't be White House counsel, which he's up for those roles. Walk me through exactly what's going on with Jeff Clark.
So the D.C. bar filed a specification of charges against Jeff in the summer of 22. And we've just concluded yesterday with an evidentiary hearing before a body that's referred to as a hearing committee. They will issue a report and recommendation that will go up to the Board of Professional Responsibility. They will make a decision one way or the other, and then there's a right of appeal to the District of Columbia Court of Appeals. But procedurally, this process looks like it came from the island of Dr. Moreau, because it's unlike any other sort of legal process. Fundamentally, in legal proceedings, jurisdiction is a threshold question. We have very strong fundamental jurisdictional challenges. We have been told, well, we're going to do the hearing first, and then you'll decide jurisdiction later. That's exactly backwards from the way it works in every other court in America. And that's just one example of the procedural oddities and irregularities that operate to the prejudice of Jeff Clark or any lawyer who's caught up in this lawfare campaign against conservative lawyers.
Harry, keep it simple for us if you can, and particularly for myself, because I'm not a lawyer. Okay. What did Jeff Clark, what are they claiming? What are they claiming at the, like the at the bar level? This is all lawyers. This is not not in a court. But what are they claiming Jeff Clark did that would actually rise to the level of taking his license to practice away? I think that's what confuses people. What are they saying Jeff Clark actually did?
You're not the only person that's confused by that. I'm confused by that. The specific charge laid is a violation of what's called Rule 8.4C, attempted dishonesty, and 8.4D, attempted serious interference with the administration of justice. But that's just the window dressing for the real sin of Jeff Clark, which is that he is a heretic against the new secular religion in which questioning the election is prohibited.
And they actually, because I take it these bar associations or this whole thing, these most of these lawyers are pretty left-wing, pretty progressive, and the panels that you argue in front of are pretty progressive?
I don't know the politics of the two lawyers on the panel. There's a lay member of the panel. I believe that the disciplinary counsel's first job out of law school was on the Watergate Special Prosecution Force.
So where does this leave Clark today? Have they given a recommendation? Is he in limbo? Are they? Do you think they'll actually end up taking his ability to practice in Washington, well, D.C. away in the district?
I surely hope not. But so what they've done is they've made what they call a preliminary non-binding determination, which is an oxymoron, that there's at least one violation. So which one of the two charges they think has been violated, I don't know. They didn't say. We have a process now where we have post-hearing briefings, and then they issue a report and recommendation, which could be quite a lengthy document, might take them quite a bit of time to put it together. And then it goes to the board, and then it goes to the D.C. Court of Appeals, and that whole process could take additional years before it's finally completed. But certainly they are seeking disbarment. And they're seeking disbarment over a draft letter that never left the office, that nobody knew about until it was leaked to the New York Times after Joe Biden was president. And that was characterized as the greatest threat to the Republic since the Civil War.
Harry, how can people find out more about this case? How can you find out more about you? I mean, what are people are outraged in our audience because Jeff Clark is a beloved figure. And not just that, he's going to be a very important part of President Trump's second term. And I understand that the mainstream media that watches is going to melt down on that, but he is. That's just a fact. So where can people go to find out more about this and more about this fight? Because this is critical. We can't. Jeff Clark's one of our starters, and we can't lose him. So where do people go?
Well, I would send him to the Jeff's place of employment, which is the Center for Renewing America, or Jeff's social media feeds. I don't tweet or much about the case because I could get in trouble for that. So you won't find much on my Twitter feed about this case. But Jeff's feed and the Center for Renewing America would probably be the best. But I don't think we have a single repository for information or argument about the case. Maybe that's something we'll put up going forward, because there are some serious fundamental constitutional issues that need to be aired out.
What are those fundamental issues?
Well, there's a serious separation of powers issue and a federal supremacy issue. It's our position that the D.C. bar does not get to walk into the Oval Office while the president is consulting with his senior legal advisors and decide to punish one of them because they don't like the advice that he's giving. That's up to the president of the United States. The president of the United States had no complaint about Mr. Clark's advice. He decided against the recommendation, but he did not make a bar complaint. The bar complaint was made by Richard Durbin, who is a partisan warrior, and then it was picked up by the D.C. bar. There's never been a case in the history of bar discipline in the United States that we can find where a lawyer was disciplined over a draft document that never left the office. Jeff Clark's the first. And the case never should have been brought. And if this is the way we're going to operate, there is no end. There's no end to it. It's Pandora's box on steroids.
Harry, from our audience, I just want to say thank you so much for defending Jeff Clark. This has to be done. This is one of the major ways they're trying to take down the MAGA movement, America First, the deplorables, the Trump movement, all of it. They're going after, it's lawfare, but they're going after the lawyers. So we want to thank you for having the guts and courage and smarts and toughness to stand up and fight this. I know it's quite hard.
Well, thank you very much. And I thank you for putting out the story. It is an important story. It's the explicit objective of the left to destroy any lawyer that was willing to challenge the election. And I have a target on my back.
Me too. Yeah, we know. We're going to cover you. Harry McDougal, one of the patriots standing in the breach. This is what courage is, folks. And courage is contagious. We're going to take a short commercial break. Josh Hammer is going to lay out the case of how the left is coming after the lawyers to destroy the Trump movement. Next. The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year, and then the inflation data came out higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
The price of gold is at $2,317. We do not give, that's $2,300, $2,317. We do not give personal financial advice. We just lay out the macro. A lot of macro is going to get laid out today. Geopolitics, national security, capital markets between now and the 11 o'clock hour and the 6 o'clock hour. So we do the macro. To do the micro, go to birchgold.com/war room. And make sure, /Bannon. And make sure you talk to Philip Patrick and think. Philip's going to join me tomorrow on the Saturday show in the second hour, I think. We're going to go through everything that's been driving the price of gold, all the underlying dynamics. But you need to talk to the specialist over Birch Gold. Do it today. birchgold.com/Bannon. Talk to Philip Patrick and the team. Find out what's going on. I tell you, it's got a floor now. It's every couple of days. Gets higher. Doesn't mean it's not going to go down, but it's the trend. The trend is your friend here. Okay, Josh Hammer, and I want to give a shout out to Newsweek magazine and to Batya, Unger Sargon, who's one of the new editors over there, and what Josh Hammer did. Newsweek, for being a major publication in the mainstream media, and obviously if you read most of the articles, they're not exactly loving on the MAGA movement of President Trump, but the op-ed section, the editorial section, has some of the most brilliant opinion by leaders of the MAGA movement, and it's quite brilliant. Josh Hammer, Josh, your piece today is about John Eastman, but it speaks to something larger, and this is why I wanted to start the show with this today, and we've got another big example coming up in a minute, is that there's a war in the lawfare. They understand they got to take out our kind of field grade officers. They need to take out the best lawyers in MAGA, either disbar them or make sure no white shoe law firm will hire them or no corporate client will hire them. They have to destroy the lawyers because the lawfare is not going to stop. There's a bunch of articles up today. President Trump still pressing on the recusal of the judge up in New York. Now, I think that's pretty remote possibility of happening, but he's still hammering away at it. But you see the lawfare last night, these decisions in Florida, what's happening in Georgia, what's happening in New York, what's happening in D.C. Lawfare is their principal way to stop the MAGA movement, right? Folks, it's obvious. They can't sell their program. They can't sell their program to their own constituents, their own coalition. That's why it's coming apart, and they're freaking out. As you saw Susan Glasner in the open, the cold open of New Yorker on MSNBC this morning, they're freaked out that Trump's numbers are rising against the very policies that they're putting in place. So they've got to go to lawfare. Josh, how big an issue is this, sir?
Steve, this is the issue. This literally is the issue. So the way that I look at it, it's basically a Venn diagram where you have one circle, which is the lawfare against Donald Trump, because as you said, Steve, that currently is their best shot to derail the Donald Trump campaign. That is their best shot to ensure that Joe Biden is going to have a possible second term. Then in the second circle, you have this broader war on the legal profession itself. And the Venn diagram overlap as far as I see it, really centers on two individuals, which is what I wrote my column about, one of whom is Jeffrey Clark. We just heard from his lawyer, the attorney McDougal. And then the other, of course, is John Eastman. John Eastman, Jeffrey Clark are the Venn diagram overlap of the lawfare against Donald Trump and the left's broader war against the legal profession. And we just heard a lot about Jeffrey Clark, so I'll just talk a little bit about John Eastman himself. So first of all, I've known John personally for many years now. I consider the man a friend. I did the Claremont Institute Legal Fellowship with him about 6 years ago. He oversaw that fellowship. John is a legal scholar, Steve. He was dean of Chapman University School of Law for many years. He clerked for Justice Thomas on the Supreme Court back in the day, ran for Attorney General of California. He's published prolific academic articles on the Declaration of Independence, on birthright citizenship, and the 14th Amendment. You name it. The man is a top-notch lawyer. And he took on a client after the 2020 election who happens to be unpopular in the eyes of the government, in the eyes of the ruling class, in the eyes of societal elites in general. That client, of course, happens to be Donald Trump. And for having the temerity, for having the chutzpah to advance certain constitutional arguments pertaining to the 12th Amendment and then the Electoral Count Act of 1887 as well, for having the temerity to advance certain legal arguments at an admittedly tense, high-profile moment to a high-profile client, Steve, they have thrown this man through the ringer in every way possible. They put spikes in his and his wife's driveway at their home in Santa Fe, New Mexico. They spray painted "Go Away Insurrectionists" in their neighborhood. They've most recently debanked him from Bank of America and the USAA. He had to retire from the law school where he was dean. He had a visiting scholarship at the University of Colorado Boulder that was lost. He's being prosecuted along with Jeff Clark by this far left nutjob DA Fani Willis down in Georgia. And then most recently last week, you had this 128-page ruling from this crazy judge out in California in the state bar system out there, Judge Yvette Roland, arguing why John Eastman should now be disbarred. And all of this, Steve, it's really the point you're making is sound. It's really not just about Donald Trump and the MAGA. It's very much about that. But what they are doing, Steve, when it comes to John Eastman and Jeff Clark in particular, they're trying to send a message to all of us. I went to University of Chicago Law School, the same law school that John Eastman went to. They're trying to send a message to all of the right of center young lawyers and law students of the nation's top law schools. Don't you dare think about going to represent Donald Trump or any other high profile Republican. Don't you dare even so much as consider going to work in a future Republican Department of Justice. Don't you dare think about that, or else we're going to blacklist you, issue a scarlet letter, and try to excise you from the polite confines of public American life. That is what is going on right now. That is what is on the line. And again, as a personal friend of John Eastman, you can hear my passion. I'm livid about this situation. It is disgusting Stalinist tactics, the likes of which I did not think I would ever see in this country.
No, he's one of the most revered, however you cut it, he's one of the most revered constitutional scholars in the country about the Constitution, number one. Number two, the other aspect they're trying to do is make sure no white shoe law firm, no major law firm,
yes,
will ever hire conservatives, will ever hire these young graduates. And that's going to just thwart people. They're going to sit there and go, hey, I've spent, since I've been in kindergarten, I finished number one in my class so I could get to University of Chicago Law School, finish at the top of my class so I could really, do my profession, be a Supreme Court clerk or federal judge clerk. All of that, they're trying to suppress it. They're trying to tell the best and the brightest, if you back MAGA, if you back the deplorables, if you back Trump or the Trump movement, you're out. You're permanently out. You're de-lawyered. They're going after the best and the brightest in the legal profession on our side of the football to send a message to those people coming up. They're using Eastman and Clark, and Clark's one of the most brilliant lawyers I've ever met. They're focused on Clark and Eastman as examples to show people, if we can get these two guys, we can get you. Am I wrong in that, brother?
Hammer? No, you're not wrong at all. And I'll give you just one other example. So I was actually in Columbus, Ohio a few weeks ago. I was doing a Federal Society, a legal event there with a good friend of mine. He was actually even a groomsman at my wedding back in December, a guy by the name of Elliot Geiser, who's the current Solicitor General of Ohio. And, this is all fairly public, so I'm not saying anything that's not already public. But when Elliot was first announced as the next Solicitor General of Ohio, and the Solicitor General is the chief appellate lawyer in a given state, it's a pretty prominent and prestigious position. When he was announced for that perch a few months ago, you had the left-leaning media in Ohio in particular that just flailed their arms up in the air, and they were apoplectic. Why? Oh, because Elliott volunteered after the 2020 election to be a lawyer helping the Donald Trump campaign in those moments. He was in the room with John Eastman and folks like that. They tried very hard to derail my friend Elliott from even getting the Solicitor General perch. Thankfully, they were unsuccessful, and now Ohio is blessed to have a tremendous Solicitor General. But what you said is emphatically correct, Steve. I have heard so many anecdotal stories of friends who were in the Trump administration, in the DOJ, or perhaps they were a lawyer in a different agency, Department of Labor, HHS, any of them. I have heard so many anecdotal stories of lawyers who then, after the administration, after it was over and Biden took over and they wanted to go work at a white shoe law firm in D.C., New York City, Chicago, anywhere else, they couldn't do it. They literally could not do it. And this is just part and parcel of the broader institutional rot that we're seeing. It's not just big law. It's big tech. It's big finance. It's the debanking. We're just seeing this ruling class mentality that cannot so much as endure people who don't necessarily think like them. And they are trying to make it so that so much as working for a high profile Republican, representing him as your legal client or working in that DOJ, they're trying to make it so that move in and of itself is career suicide. Again, that is what is on the line here. It's not just about John Eastman. It's not just about Jeffrey Clark. But I genuinely pray that Jeffrey Clark and John Eastman are not disbarred, that they are not going to be found guilty in this sham prosecution down in Georgia, because there's so much on the line, Steve.
We're going to fight hard on this. Josh, where do people get you, your great pieces on Newsweek, your social media podcast, all of it?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, Josh_Hammer, Instagram at Josh B. Hammer. My syndicated column goes up at Newsweek and a bunch of other right of center publications. And then I host two of my own shows as well, The Josh Hammer Show and America on Trial with Josh Hammer, which is our daily show that covers all the legal stuff.
The Hammer, Josh Hammer, thank you so much. Brilliant piece. We're going to make sure everybody gets it. Mo and Grace will push it out. Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much, Steve.
We're going to go to break with a very special spot. Let's see it.
Press always asks me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish you were in high school. I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
I said, no. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
That you cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
President Walker, how do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
When they go low, we kick them.
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Please, get up in the face of some Congress people.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
Now that we are launching into the general election season, Patriot Mobile wants to celebrate with a very special offer, just in case you haven't made the switch to Patriot Mobile today. Until March 31st, you can get a free month of service. That's a free month of service when you switch to Patriot Mobile. All you need to do is stop procrastinating and go to PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon and use the offer code SPRING24. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon and use the offer code SPRING24. That's it. It's that easy. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the progressive left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message, just like you all did on Super Tuesday, that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. The Patriot Mobile team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Remember, Patriot Mobile has 100% U.S.-based customer service. Get your free month of service and get it today. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon for the free month of service. Put in the code SPRING24. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. SPRING24. When you make the switch, you get the free month. Or you can call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
That spot that we went out with was from the Trump campaign. That's about the violence of the Democratic Party and how they're off the chain. Yesterday in a federal court in Washington, D.C., a 71-year-old great-grandmother was found guilty of four misdemeanors, including parading on the Capitol grounds. For that, she's going to be sentenced right now in mid-August up to 3 years in a federal prison and a $250,000 fine. That great-grandmother from Colorado Springs, or near Colorado Springs, Colorado, joins us now, Rebecca Lovrens. Thank you so much. Walk me through, what did you do? This is what I'm very confused about, because I've read everything about it, all the court. What did you actually do? What are you actually charged with? These misdemeanors, they don't, what did you do? What are you charged with?
Well, I'm charged with entering and remaining in a restricted building, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a Capitol building, and picketing and parading and demonstrating in a restricted building.
And you were in, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you were in the Capitol, you walked into an open door, in this video of this, you walked into an open door and you were in the Capitol a total, was it 9 minutes, 8 minutes, 9 minutes, something like that?
Ten minutes, yeah. Yes, I went to the Capitol.
You walked through the Capitol, the rotunda for 10 minutes, walked back through an open door, walked back out, and you were found guilty on four misdemeanors by a jury, of a Washington, D.C. jury. You were found guilty, and you and the penalties for that are up to 3 years in a federal prison. Am I correct in that?
That's what my attorney said. Yep, I just reconfirmed it with my attorney, John Pierce, and his firm. They said that. I thought it was less than that, but they said it could be up to 3 years, according to all those the charges that it was charged with, for peacefully going into the Capitol. I went there to pray.
You went to the Capitol to pray?
Yes. Of course, I got involved because I love God, my country, and my family. And I knew that something wasn't right in that 2020 election. And even before that, I just said, our country's going down with all the liberties that felt like they were stripped away from us in 2020. I thought, we've got to keep President Trump in there because he's the only one fighting to keep our nation free. And I knew that his heart was at the right place. And I did whatever I could to campaign for him to get out the vote. I got involved in my precinct and my local Republican Party, which is has a very strong grassroots Republican chairwoman. And I got out, did whatever I could to campaign and get involved, and got involved with another group that was really standing up for our freedoms and liberties. And when the election turned out, when I woke up the next morning after watching it till they shut it down, I thought, oh, he's victorious. I knew he had to have a landslide. And then we saw all those fraudulent irregularities. And I've been a Christian since a teenager. Knew that I didn't make myself, I didn't create myself, but when I became a believer and as a teenager, and when I was only 14, I knew that my life was no longer my own, and I decided to follow Jesus, and Jesus said he's the way, the truth. So I've made it my lifelong mission to know Jesus, and he's truth, and so I've had a lifelong mission for truth, and I pray. I'm been a prayer warrior for all my life, but I'm also one that takes action to my faith. And when my son, my oldest son, called me, he has four children, and now he has a grandson, which makes me a great grandmother. He called me on like the 1st of January, said, Mom, are you going to go to the rally? And I said, well, I haven't thought about it. I'll pray about it. And it didn't take very long, but because I love truth, that I knew I had to stand for truth and drive. And because I had chosen not to fall, to wear a mask. So if they were going to restrict me from flying, I knew I had to drive. So I drove the whole way, fasted, didn't eat anything, prayed, went out there just strictly to pray all by myself on my own accord, not involved with anyone else, and prayed at the Capitol and prayed the outside. There was a prayer platform, ended up being able to pray the 1620 Mayflower Compact that says this country will give glory to God and advance the Christian faith. And that's our 1620, over 400-year document that says that's what this country is founded on. And if you're going to strip away all my liberties to
She froze. Okay, let's try to unfreeze her.
Okay, am I on again?
Continue on. Yeah, you're on. Continue on.
Hello? Okay, am I still on?
You are, ma'am. Yeah, just continue on. Okay, she froze again. Let's get it rebooted. I want to bring in Raheem. Here's the central thing. You had a great grandmother. Her son said, "Hey, if you think about going to this the rally with President Trump and on the Ellipse and all that," she prayed about it. She left because she didn't believe in the mask and wearing the mask. She took off from Colorado Springs, Colorado, and drove for 2 days. I think she stopped in St. Louis. She went to the J6 event. And what she did is she prayed. She went to pray by herself, not with a big group, by herself. Prayed, then through, and it's all on video, through an open door in the Capitol. She walked in. She was there for, I think, 9 minutes. She says 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And she was in the, walked through the rotunda, walked out, prayed, and walked out. For that, Merrick Garland's and Joe Biden's DOJ charged her with 4 misdemeanors, parading on Capitol grounds, parading on Capitol grounds. And she was protesting and parading on Capitol grounds, which, as Raheem can tell you, because we live in that Capitol Hill neighborhood, happens every day. She was found guilty, and she will serve up to 3 years in a federal prison as a 71-year-old great-grandmother. Now, Raheem, here's what's quite interesting about this. Every day, MSNBC and a very tiny part of the audience says, "Hey, do you have to play the MSNBC stuff?" Yes, we do. If it's too much for you, I got it. There are other shows, but we're going to continue to play it because this is information war. It's one of the major parts of this conflict we have is the information war. You have to know how your enemy's shaping the narrative. Now, Raheem, what is quite interesting is that no mainstream media, no MSNBC, no CNN, none of it, that spiked the football every day when a J6 person is found guilty, not one peep. They know they jumped the shark on this. They understand how outrageous this is. And they understand how Rebecca Lavrins can be a rally point for everybody said, "We've had a belly full of this now." Okay? They are political prisoners and they are hostages. And I point to a great-grandmother who turned her life over to Christ decades ago, that went to the Capitol by herself to pray in the United States of America at the Capitol. And for that, she's sentenced to up to 3 years in federal prison and a $250,000 fine. Raheem Kassam, your thoughts, analysis, and observations, sir?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. It's obviously a major, major travesty of justice that we're seeing. But much like many of the other Jan 6 cases that simply do not get as much detailed attention as they should be getting. Now, you know, we've been paying attention to Rebecca Lavrins' case for a while now, going through it with a fine-tooth comb. I've been through the video of her in the Capitol, like you say, no more than 10 minutes, standing in the Capitol, walked through an open door, was even chatting with a police officer as she walked into the Capitol, in video that we will put up at the National Pulse later on today so that people can see for themselves and judge for themselves. But this goes back to Josh Hammer's point. It goes back to the point you've been making since the beginning of the show. If this were a political campaign versus a political campaign, it would be over already. I think most people are aware of that. Most people recognize that. Most people know that in their hearts. That's why this is not a political campaign versus a political campaign in America in 2024. This is a political campaign, a legal campaign, a lawfare campaign, a cultural campaign, an intersectional campaign, a media campaign, all against a political movement. And it brings to mind that phrase that President Trump brings up every rally and almost every interview, right? He says, "They're not after me, they're after you, I'm just in the way." Well, if Rebecca Lavrins isn't the most critical example of that quote, then I don't know what is. Because this is the regime, this is the state, This is your country persecuting a great-grandmother, by the way. Not just a grandmother, a great-grandmother, 71 years old, who walked into a building, by the way. You say correctly. You know, we know this neighborhood very well. I've lived here for nearly 10 years now. I walk inside the Capitol all the time. It's usually open to the public. When Rebecca Lavrins walked in there, the policemen had their backs to the doors holding them open, and she chatted with one of them on her way in. And yet what you see here is them, as much as they possibly can, throwing the book at her. This is the maximum number of charges that she could have faced, and it's the maximum number of guilty verdicts that she could have faced. Now, sentencing is on August the 12th, and in sentencing, she faces up to 3 years in jail, as well as up to $250,000 in fines. That's why her lawyers at the NCLU, John Pierce, they have a crowdfunder. We've got a link to it in the National Pulse story, where people can go to GiveSendGo and contribute to the legal costs of actually pushing back against this. And the other thing that a lot of people don't realize, Steve, is that when the GiveSendGos are in the names of the actual people who are facing the charges, Merrick Garland and Joe Biden's DOJ tries to seize those funds to stop them being able to represent themselves, to stop them having effective legal representation. So that's why the NCLU, this is a campaign in the NCLU, her lawyers' names, so that those funds can't be seized and they can actually go towards representing her legally. So I think they're at something like $45,000 now. They're looking to get $100,000 here. And obviously we broke the story on the National Pulse this morning per Rebecca Lavrins' statement that she will be rightly appealing this verdict.
Talk to me about the mainstream media doesn't want to touch this right now. They know they've jumped the shark, right? And I'm going to get the names of the prosecutors. We got to make the prosecutors in this case famous. We have to make Garland, all these people famous. And people talk about the administrative state, what we're going to do with the deep state administrative state. We're going to purge all this upon taking power. These people are evil. They're evil to prosecute a great-grandmother for going into our nation's capital to pray. You know one of the reasons? They hate religion, and they particularly hate Christianity. And that's why they're after a 71-year-old great-grandmother and want to put her in prison for up to 3 years and a $250,000 fine. And like you said, Garland will come in and grab even the funds that people try to put together to protect her. They'll jump in and try to get that to take it for the fine. This is pure evil, and that's why they didn't spike the football last night on CNN and MSNBC. They understand that this is what we call jumping the shark, and she's going to be a rally point for people to say, hey, guess what? Trump is right. When he stands up there and says they're political prisoners and they're hostages, he's 1,000% correct. Raheem Kassam.
Look, the day after President Trump gave his announcement speech at Mar-a-Lago, I did a bunch of media and I said, look, what's very clear here is that this is not a political battle that people are facing here. This is a spiritual battle that people are facing here. And that was the reason, I think, in my heart, in my, you know, with my political analyst hat on and with my spiritual hat on. That is why when President Trump said in that speech, he usually does make America, you know, strong again, make America safe again, make America great again. And in that speech, he added make America glorious again. And I said it at the time and I've said it many times since. It was, there is a difference between glory and greatness. And the difference is spirituality. The difference is the fight between good and evil, right? And so that is what this is all about. Of course, you're absolutely correct. I'll reiterate it, not that it needs it. They don't want to put Rebecca Lavrins' case up on CNN. They don't want to put it up on MSNBC. I'd be very surprised if even Fox News put it up. All these other corrupt cable news networks, because this is the epitome. It's the epitome of the overreach of the state, of the evil of the state, and it kind of, in a sense, has the ability to turn the entire Jan 6 narrative on its head. If Rebecca Lavrins is on TV every single day from now until the election somewhere, on the radio somewhere, that's off the table. Jan 6 is off the table.
Raheem, hang on for one second. We're trying to get Rebecca.
Are you tired of progressive corporations and exhausted trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're simply trying to buy products? Progressive corporate America continues to push messaging that further alienates conservative Americans, all while eroding the future of the American dream. It's prominent all over the country. Companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion. financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views, makeup companies like Maybelline making a mockery of women by supporting transgender models, and beer companies like Bud Light forcing gender ideology on you when all you want is to enjoy a cold beer. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer with our hard-earned dollars. With Public Square, we now have a solution. It's simple. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.com. That's publicsq.com. Public Square is an app and website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Whether you're looking to buy coffee, find a new athletic clothing that knows what a woman is, and shop for clean skincare, or simply find a new restaurant in your community that won't lecture you about your political views, publicsq.com is your resource. Public Square also offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform so that you can actually receive incentive for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as consumer or a business owner, and you can get started today at publicsq.com. Remember, either as a consumer or a business owner, download the app now. That's publicsq.com, publicsq.com.
Host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, Warren Posse, we need you at the Ramparts. Next week's going to heat up the Ukraine situation. Harnwell's going to join us at 6 o'clock. MTG's going to be with us on Monday. This is going to be a huge fight. So we need you on the Ramparts, and your attention not diverted, particularly on things like your home title. You can't let cyber combined with AI get into your title and take out a second mortgage from a hard money lender. You cannot allow that to happen. The way to go check it today is Home Title Lock. Just go to HomeTitleLock.com. Immerse yourself in the information there. See if this is right for you, if it makes sense. But they'll walk you through the entire process. A pretty incredible company, HomeTitleLock.com. Also, Jace Medical. Dr. Sean and the team took the Rosemary Gibson book. We first used to have Rosemary Gibson on at the beginning of the pandemic about the supply chains, how the CCP controls 100% of active pharmaceutical ingredients. Make sure you don't get caught short. Go to jacemedical.com. Immerse yourself in information there with Dr. Sean and the team. Talk to one of the professionals about how you get your full medical pharmaceutical needs without being exposed to either cyber attacks on your pharmacy or the Chinese Communist Party in the supply chains. jacemedical.com. Rebecca, we have Rebecca back up, a little technical mastery of our guys in Denver and our team here. Rebecca, what did God tell you when you prayed to God in Colorado Springs after your son called you? What, and you prayed before you went? What did God tell you?
I felt he just told me you need to go and stand up for your country, you know, and stand for truth. I've just been always a lover of truth, so I just couldn't sit back. And that's basically what he said. And then as I got there, I realized the main reason I was there to stand up for my covenant. I'm a very strong believer in covenants, and covenants with God are a higher higher authority than what the government is maybe saying. And so I know that my battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against spiritual principalities and powers, and they always win. One of my lifelong verses is John 10:10 in the Bible, and says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God came to give us Jesus came to give life, and life abundantly. And I want to live my life abundantly, and so I had to do whatever I could. So I'm always about the original intent of something. My dad was a government teacher and history teacher, and also was a coach, and so he taught me that when I was high school 50 some years ago, that the role of the government is for limited. It's only limited for defense of our country, and roads are the only things I can remember. It wasn't all this infringement in every part of our life. And Jesus said he came to give us liberty, and he said he came to set us free. And I can't live my life out of my 5 acres and have chickens and live my life, then I've got to fight for that. You know, evil's going to prevail if we don't, if good men do nothing. And so I just felt like God said, you need to go. And he actually, I think you said what he said. I just remember I looked over, I spent a lot of time journaling, you know, so I can know I'm hearing God. And when I remember the thing that he said is, Rebecca, this is going to be an adventure for you. And I know you want to live long, and you're going to enjoy your life a lot longer if you go on this trip with me. And I'll be sitting in the right in the passenger seat with you all the way. And I was excited to go and stand up for what I thought was a republic of we the people. And what I got, what, I feel like God chose me. I felt like God chose me.
You've just been found guilty in a federal court on four misdemeanors, up to 3 years in prison. Would your father be proud of you today if he was here?
Oh, yes. He definitely would have been. I know he would have been. He stood for truth all the way. So did my mom. They taught me to stand for truth. And that's the way I was brought in. It was just part of my DNA. And I know my Heavenly Father's proud of me, too, because I obeyed him to follow him and do what he was asking me to do. And if he wouldn't have told me, if he would have said, don't go, I wouldn't have gone, because I was a bigger purpose than. And as I said, it's like God, country, and my family. And I knew that my country was in really big trouble. You know, if we're going to have socialism, Marxism, communism, and take God out of everything, killing babies in the womb, and those kind of things, then we're living in a godless society, and that's not what our country is founded on. And I believe God wants to make our country, I know Josh said before, glorious. And I've got a new MAGA slogan. It's Make America Godly Again, because even before the 1620 Mayflower Covenant, there was a 1607 covenant that Robert Hunt established when he came and landed at Cape Henry outside of Virginia Beach. And he said that he declared, put a cross on that the part of that island that jutted out, the furthest part of the ocean that first landed. He set up a cross along with 144 men and boys, and he declared that this country would leave glory to God, and it would advance the Christian faith, and it would be evangelists to the world. But he also said that it would be a godly nation, and a godly nation for generations to come. And I think that's what I feel that God wants to help me restore. Many people say that the January 6th people broke, we made the breach, but actually the breach was already made when we broke that covenant that this would be a country that put God first. And so I feel Isaiah 58:12 says that we are called to be repairers of the breach. And by me going there to pray peaceably, I believe I'm part of that calling, along with a lot of other people that God's going to call up to repair the breach that's already been broken, and a restorer of streets to dwell in.
Rebecca, where can people get more information? Do you have a website, social media? Where do people go?
I have a website called restoringgodlyculture.com. You can go to that. There's a donate tab on there where you can give to my fund. And my biggest thing now, I felt like when I got that conviction that, first of all, I went there thinking that to win, there you got it, praying grandma gets arrested. But I felt like you talk about sports, and I grew up in a family where my dad was a coach. My husband was a coach. My boys played college baseball. My girls played every sport, baseball, softball, basketball. And you always have certain rules. And I felt like, of course, you know, we're in the United States of America. There will be, you know, I'd play by certain rules. And I always go, even if I think I'm going to lose. And I knew that it wasn't going to be a very fair trial, I didn't believe, but I always go into something thinking I'm going to win. But even if we don't win, and I thought I might win because they deliberated the jury for almost for 3 full days and a little bit more, and I thought, you know, there could be a chance I could win. You know, I'm not going to quit. But anyway, I ended up knowing that, you know, sometimes you have to lose a battle, but you win the war.
I think you are winning, Rebecca. Thank you so much for joining us. Look forward to having you back. We'll send everybody to the site. Rebecca Lovrens, a great-grandmother found guilty by Merrick Garland's Justice Department, up to 3 years in a federal prison for praying in the Capitol. The apples in your holiday pie taste amazing, but it's not exactly the recommended 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. The Mayo Clinic says if you want to help prevent heart disease, lower blood pressure, and your cholesterol, eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, which, as you know, is almost impossible. That's why you need to check out Field of Greens. Every fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was medically selected by doctors to support your vital organs, like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and your immune system. Yo, folks, the holidays are here, and you need to stay healthy. Plus, you'll notice your skin, hair, and nails will look healthier. Field of Greens is the simplest way to get those daily fruits and veggies, and it tastes amazing. Let me get you started with 15% off your first order. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Bannon. That's promo code Bannon at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Make sure you take it today. Use your agency. Action, action, action. Fieldofgreens.com. Promo code Bannon. War Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.